Tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by CISO. You'd have to be Boo Boo the Fool to not take advantage of 1 month of free CISO with promo code RHAP. CISO is comedy for comedy nerds, featuring tons of your favorite comedy shows, plus all of SNL and CISO originals. Get the streaming CISO for 1 month for free with promo code RHAP at CISO.com.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after episode number 10. And Steven, the big moves are back.
Big moves, Rob. Big moves this episode. But before we talk about big moves, we need to talk about that incredibly stirring emotional moment where Suri conquered her lifelong fear of balance beams.
Right. Somewhere Dan Liu and Ryan Aiken are shaking their heads. Where was the narrative of them overcoming the balance beam?
Where was any of my narratives?
Yes.
Where was my narrative?
Yes.
Of
everyone gather around. Steven doesn't know how to work this slingshot. We are not leaving here until Steven hits a target.
When do I get my chance to? Here's one thing about there are many powerful, wonderful moments of growth on Survivor. Obviously, I believe that the balance beam to me didn't do it.
Yeah.
But I will, these Survivor contestants, I've said it before and I've said it again, I will say it again. Survivor contestants really, really care about carnival games.
Yeah. Well, they, this is really the classic
stock in carnival games.
The classic default Survivor move of when I played, nobody cared when I did this and I did this. The classic player hating move from Stephen Fishback to open up Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Oh, from Stephen Fishback, you're with me on this one.
Oh, I wasn't going to open the show with it.
Yeah, but that's how Probst opened Tribal Council. It was a callback.
Yeah. It was a callback. He was like, "Hey, remember when we did that before?" All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about here tonight because a very exciting Tribal Council at the final 11. Something that I didn't think was going to go through. I thought this was going to be we were being sold a bill of goods going into this Tribal Council. And really a breakout night for Officer Sarah tonight, Stephen.
Good Lord. She just did everything right, didn't she?
Yeah.
Everyone loves Sarah. Like, how many people did we see who were like, I only want to work with Sarah? Well, how is she doing it? How is she doing it?
Well, she's going to be the focus of a lot of attention as we talk through everything here tonight. Oh. And an exciting move. I think I really need to be convinced that Debbie was the right person to go for here at this Tribal Council. I like the move. I question the target. We'll talk about all that.
I have an argument
much more.
Why Debbie. Okay. I have a good argument.
Can't wait to hear it. We're going to get into everything here tonight with Stephen Fishback. Hashtag RHAP. Let's get your questions for later on in the show.
Stephen Fishback.
Hashtag Stephen Fishback if you have a specific question about Stephen.
No. Any questions is general. Just
right.
General questions.
Stephen, were you upset? Did you feel like Sarah Lucina was shading you when she got your vote canceled?
Okay. First of all, I would argue, as I just did on Twitter, I would argue that I played my vote advantage correctly, but my alliance voted incorrectly. Okay. I thought I did a very elegant move. The vote split, the idol defense.
You did everything right. It was everybody else that screwed up.
No, it was one person that screwed up and, I don't want to have to deal with it. I think it's a very different situation. Everyone knew about my advantage. Nobody knows about Sarah's advantage. But if she plays it correctly, and based on the orchestral score when she spoke, I am guessing that she's going to play it correctly. I just don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with the tweets. Sarah did it or you didn't. Like, good. I want people to play it correctly. Like, I think it's cool when they have advantages and, like, people figure it out and the players figure it out. And then, like, then the kind of strategy develops. I think that's cool. But, like, already the tweets are like, oh, Sarah's got your advantage. She's shading you, Fishback. I don't want to hear it.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. It's not bothering you. Very, you're a big man, Stephen Fishback.
5-minute rant proved. I am unbothered by this.
Does not affect you. Water off a duck's back.
Fish back.
Off a fish's back. All right. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, of course. My exit interview with Debbie, and God only knows what she's going to want to get into. So we will talk with Debbie tomorrow morning. I'm going to have a person that spent a lot of time with Ceree back in Survivor Panama. Otis Bushkauskas will be here with me in the studio to talk through everything going on. So excited for our Otis cast tomorrow.
That was a fun alliance, Ceree and Otis.
Yes. And then we are going to talk to somebody who I'm imagining is going to be Team Sarah from Survivor Cagayan on the voicemails. It's the return of the purple pants badass, Bryce Isaiah, back on the voicemails later on Thursday. Get your voicemails in. It's been a while. It's been almost a year since we had Bryce on the voicemails.
Wow.
We didn't do one in Millennials versus Gen X, so he's going to be back. So get your voicemails in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail for that. So and then, Steven, 2 weeks from tonight, you and I are going to be in Toronto.
I'm very excited about it, Rob.
Pending acceptance of my passport photo. But yes, we're going to be there in Toronto. I'm very excited. I have confidence.
But if I just give you my passport, I feel like if you put on my glasses, you could pass.
Sure.
The glasses and beard are very – every time any person with glasses and a beard is in any media, people will be like, Fishbag, looks like you. So I feel like it's
a good thing. Anybody with glasses and a beard?
Any like nerdy white guy with glasses and a beard. They're like, oh, look, it's Fishback.
Is there an age limit like Steven Spielberg? Do you get that?
I haven't gotten Steven Spielberg yet. His glasses are different, like thick frame glasses.
Okay. All right. So we will test that theory as we move along here tonight. All right, Steven. So tell me, why was Debbie the target? You know, we've heard so much of, we saw Sarah in the hammock with Ceree, who's running the show. It's clearly Sierra. It's clearly Brad. Why Debbie? I mean, we even saw Sierra Dawn Thomas, Sheriff Dawn Thomas, say to Officer, and she outranks her. The sheriff is higher than the officer. That, like, hey, me, you, Debbie, final three. And we saw Sarah say, yeah, I kind of like that. But it was the talk of the town, as Bryce is going to be on the podcast, was that Debbie told Aubrey that Michaela was going to be the target, and that was a lie, and that Sarah doesn't trust who? Aubrey? And then was that it? Was it an emotional reaction to that?
So I mean, I'm sure part of it is, I don't think that's emotional, though. If someone is lying about you, it's not like then emotional to say, let's get that person out. You know, that's strategic. If someone is like saying bad things about you to advance their game and like poisoning your allies against you, to eliminate that person is strategic. I also think there's a couple of good things about Debbie. I think that Sarah can pitch the Debbie move to the bigger alliance as the power alliance or whatever they're calling themselves. This was a one person who was lying about me. I voted against this person. I didn't vote against your alliance. So I think there's a way, if she voted out Sierra, who she's, obviously got a great relationship with. Sierra says, I want to take you to the final three. You know, she votes out Culpepper. Like, what did Culpepper ever do to her? She and Culpepper have a great relationship. But to vote out Debbie, who is not necessarily at the top of the alliance, but is, in the ranks of the alliance, and who has said bad things about her, I think A, it's like good from a strategic perspective not to eliminate one of these people who likes her and she has a good relationship with, and B, good from maybe a future perspective of being able to say down the line, hey, I didn't vote against the alliance. I didn't, I voted against this person.
Okay, so Sarah Lucina is really firmly in the middle. You know, once upon a time at a final 11, Sarah Lucina was also the swing vote, and it didn't go as well for her. Here, she is the person who ends up making the flip from a 6 2 of 5. Steven, that we talked about way back, all the way back in Survivor South Pacific with Cochran switching at the merge. Chaos Cass was in that same spot back in Survivor Cagayan. It didn't go, it wasn't a smooth ride for Cass to switch from one group of five to another group of five at the merge. A lot of people were really mad at her moving forward.
Well, it's interesting because Sarah literally was in that exact same spot, right? Like you're saying, and her whole, I mean, it's funny that Sarah incorrectly identified, you know, her past flaw, where she was saying, I mean, you know, again, we're obviously an edited show. She lived it. So maybe she has some experience beyond what we know, but, you know, as presented on TV, Sarah's flaw, that time was, you know, she claims that her problem was being too passive and inactive and letting other people take control. The narrative that we saw in Cagayan was that Sarah flipped from one side of the alliance and was too demanding of the others of her alliance about who needed to be targeted, and Cass specifically leading her to flip. Cass specifically just got sick of it. She like didn't want to like placate Sarah anymore. Mm-hmm. Here she does the same move but with a lot more finesse. And I think that's really what it comes down to, right? It's like not just, you know, the act of flipping. I've always been against, you know, flipping from the bottom of one alliance to the bottom of another alliance. I think with multiple swaps and multiple different, you know, a lot of relationships, I'm betting, as you know, I've been betting that the power structures are a little bit more dynamic than we're seeing, and that what Sarah's really doing is going to be able to play, or that she has an argument to make, right, to the other side, to say like, I'm not just flipping from one side. And even, sorry to ramble here a little bit, but I something she says to Andrea, I think really sums it up, right? She says to Andrea, isn't it great that I'm a double agent and playing both sides? So she's positioning this to her allies as like, A, she's being totally upfront about it and positioning it as a good thing. And I think that can be the difference. She's not saying like, hey, I'm with you or I'm against you. She's saying, I'm with you, but I'm pretending to be against them or with them.
Yeah, it's a really exciting spot that Sarah is in. And coming into from the last episode, she flipped. And I feel like that we didn't do enough talking on the podcast last week whether she flipped to the right side from where she was ultimately to obviously she was right on the right side of the numbers. But we saw her say in the episode last week that, you know, I could go in either direction. I'm the swing vote tonight. And we saw her talk about the decision, but we didn't get any of her rationale about why she wanted to do what she did. And we pick things up where she's still in that spot and she ends up going back to Zeke, who we knew that her and Zeke were tight. And I want to give also a lot of credit to the group of Zeke and Andrea and Suri for burying the hatchet with what went on last week. Because I think if this was first-time players, I think that would have caused that group to not be able to move forward. They were all able to put that baggage behind them from last week's Tribal Council and vote together and pull off a blindside tonight. So I'm really impressed with what that group was able to do.
Well, and you know, a lot of that was attributed to Sarah, right? Where you have Sarah saying to Zeke, hey, we got to work with Andrea. And then you have Sarah saying to Andrea, like, hey, we need to work with Zeke. Yeah. And I think like for both of them, it seemed to be that they more wanted to work with Sarah than they wanted to do anything else, you know? And like, what is this magic potion that she's got where everyone falls in love with her? Everyone really loves Sarah out there. She's doing something really right.
Yeah, she is doing something very, very well. And we, you know, talk about when people like they play in a season and they watch the winner of their season. Are you seeing a lot of what Tony brought to Cagayan in Sarah here?
Well, you know, I expected that we would talk about this, the idea that people play like the winner of their season. You know, and I do think that there's an element where Sarah is flipping, right? Or she's now flipping, flipped once and she's flipped again and has been able to sort of, you know, maintain relationships so far. But Tony was much more aggressive and chaotic, right? Yeah, I think maybe the actions are similar, but the style is so completely different.
The style is much different. And I think that that there was a lot of things that Tony did that shouldn't have worked. I think that
only worked because they were Tony.
Right. And I think that she's looking at things maybe with Tony's eye, but also has the Trish part of it where Tony really needed Trish to come in and clean up after him a lot of times and fix these problems that he would create. She's sort of like been able to take those two things and put them into one. But the thing that really reminded me with Toni tonight was how she was the one person that wasn't even near the vicinity of the secret advantage. She had everything going on with going to help Ceri and help her in the challenge. And she spotted, hey, I see something over there. And that attention
that was incredible.
To detail.
That was really like she of all people, you know, like you said, not even close to the thing, you know, every reason to just sort of like load up on the boat. The fact that she happened to like look under Michaela's leg and then see this rolled up thing. And then to not, you know, the thing that's amazing is to like not dismiss it. You know, you're like, oh, there's some like random production thing, whatever. I'm sure that's no big deal. It's not related to me. Maybe it's like a walkie talkie or something.
Yeah.
But no, she says, oh, look, that's a thing. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. She did a great job with that. And I feel like that, you know, looking for the advantage. I mean, Toni finds the, did he find the Tyler Perry idol without the clue? Was that what he ended up doing? He just saw a tree that looked like a rocket ship. And then that's how he found the Tyler Perry idol in that season. So just being on the lookout for things that could help them in the game. You know, it really was a stellar night all around. I mean, short of winning individual immunity, hard to have a better night than we saw for Sarah tonight.
Well, the thing that I do want to say is that, you know, you also have to give credit to Ceri and Aubrey, right? Because they were the ones who actually convinced Sarah to flip. You know, I mean, I think that Sarah's flip is a very dangerous move, but the way that Ceri and Aubrey kind of played to her, I thought was really incredibly skillful. I mean, you have this conversation with Aubrey where Aubrey goes to her and says, you know, Debbie said all these things about you. And Sarah's like, I don't like that. Debbie's a liar. I hate liars. And Sarah, and then Aubrey's like, well, Debbie's a liar. You hate liars. Guess who's a liar? Debbie is.
Yeah.
And then Aubrey says something even better, which is like, we have your back, or something. It's like, I swear we have your back or something like that. And it's just like exactly the stuff you say to someone who you're trying to get to flip. It's like, whatever you want to do, I'm on your side. I have your back. I support you. And that's how you get someone to flip, right? It's like your allies are out to get you. You're going to lose if you're with them. And I totally support you. Yeah. And like, what else does someone want to hear on Survivor? So like Ceri and Aubrey together, I think they put the bug in her ear and they kind of really made her feel comfortable. And to go back to Cagayan, that's sort of what Trish said to Cass, right? Like, it's like, whatever you want to do, Cass, who do you want to vote out? Cass was like, I want to vote out Sarah. And Trish was like, great. We're totally behind you. We're in your court. And you know, that like they're getting the fishies.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Josh Wigler and I were talking about this idea of...
You don't need to name drop. I know Josh.
Okay. I know you know him, but I'm talking about all that from... I'm referencing a podcast from earlier this week. We talked about that the two sides right now, that while the side with five was in the minority, we were saying that we felt like if you were just looking at it from the standpoint of the survivor skill level of the players on one side versus the other side, while there is a numeric deficit, you would say probably if you were going to rank the players just based on the skill level of the survivor players, there was more talent on the side of the five. With all due respect to the Brad and Sheriff Don Thomas and Troy Zan and Debbie and Ty, where the side with Ceri and with Andrea and with Aubrey and with Zeke, Michaela's there as well, that there was more survivor gameplay knowledge on that side and there was hope.
Hope Driscoll, late minute addition.
Hope Driscoll, yes, as well. So I think we're in a really interesting spot now in terms of at the final 10, because now this could go. I was getting scared, Stephen. I really thought we were going to have a pagonging now. I thought that the six was going to hold and they were going to just take out the five and then we were going to have our six.
I thought so, too. I was worried about that. Now, do you think, is this a resume moment for Sarah? You know, like Ceri pitched this to Sarah as like a resume moment. Do you think this is a resume moment for her?
I'm not sure necessarily if she could like say, hey, I got Debbie out. I should win the game. I got out Debbie at 11. And that's why it's not an ultimately like it was the first, you know, shot against the alliance. But this is still 5-5 if it holds. Right.
Yeah.
So Or is it that, that is that correct? You know, that there's five on one side, five on the other. If or is it 6-4?
Well, I mean, it depends who breaks which way, right?
Yeah. So I guess on one side you have Brad, you have Sierra, you have Ty, and you have Troyzan, right? So now it would be 6-4 going the other way. So if this is now go a full swing, now that Sarah has flipped and Debbie is gone, then it could be a resume move if that other six ends up holding.
Yeah. If the other six stays together. But then wouldn't you give credit to Suri? Or Aubrey, like, wouldn't you say, like, hey, she got, it's like, you know, when Cochran flips in Karamoan, you know, Cochran doesn't get credit for flipping. Coach gets credit for flipping him.
In South Pacific.
South Pacific, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But to the victor goes the spoils, that whoever is in the final three can ultimately take credit for it. If it's Suri and Andrea and Michaela, you know, Suri can say, you know, that we, you know, we, me and Andrea did that.
What if it's Suri and Sarah and some other third person?
No, I think that both of them can stake their claim on, you know, right, who had the move.
Who would you believe? If it's like, if it's like Sarah says, I flipped, and Suri says the reason she flipped is because I got her to flip. Like, who would you vote for in that situation?
I think it's human nature. I think that probably it's going to be the person that, I think they'll give the credit to Suri if you're somebody that was from Brad's side, because you'll feel betrayed by Sarah. You'll say, right, that, like, we had it. It was our six. She flipped, and now we're sitting here because of Sarah. I'll give it to Suri.
Someone tweeted, I think it was Pia, tweeted that, you know, if nothing else, you know, Sarah just bought a lot of credibility and possible jury votes from the Andrea Suri side if she does get to the end. Now, she also could have very much alienated the other side, right? And that's something we talk about a lot. It's like if you flip from one group to another, that other group is going to be pissed unless you can pull off the very difficult trick of flipping back. So,
but it's such,
that's
an
the challenge.
It's such an interesting spot because you still have this whole, situation and drama between Zeke and Andrea. Is that done? Is that over? Can they bury the hatchet? It looks like that, things could go.
It looks like it doesn't look like it's over.
It doesn't look like it's over. So I'm giving them credit tonight. But if they go back to next week where Zeke is saying, hey, let's vote out Andrea tonight, Andrea's saying, let's vote out Zeke tonight, we'll still have five. Our tight five will still be able to beat out the four. That's going to be problematic.
Yes.
So we will see what's going on moving forward. Let's just touch on Michaela. That did she bring popcorn to the tribal council tonight to eat it as the blind side was happening?
Maybe it was coconut?
I don't know, but
it might have been like coconut chips or something. You know, because if you cook the coconut in a pot, you know, and it can blacken, mm-hmm, some sort
you
of
have
like
a coconut popcorn, coconut type.
People call it coconut popcorn, but it's just like blackened coconut. It's terrible.
Yeah, but
lie to yourself about what it is so that you can not taste the horrible coconut anymore.
Back in the JT tribal council, like there was like shots of her taking the cup out of the bag, pouring the water in there, sipping the coffee as JT was getting voted out here. I think that this is now terrifying if you're at a tribal council with Michaela and she reaches into her literal bag of tricks.
Yeah, it's a bag of snacks.
Yeah. She's got a whole backpack there, and she takes a prop out, and you're like, oh, my God, does that relate to me? Oh, my God. What do I do here? And, she's the only person in Survivor history now that this is, like, her thing.
Having food in her bag.
Well, doing, like, some sort of, like, a prop thing. I mean, what is she going to do? Is she going to, like, pretend to, like, read a book? Like, she's, like, like flipping through a magazine as if she's at tribal council. Like, she's bored. Steven, yeah. I know that you are a former mime. Do you like that she brings props, or should she be able to just do the sort of object work?
As you know, mime is the art of physical expression, and so if she can make the audience believe there's a prop, you know, like pretend to sip from the cup, that's the true mastery.
Okay. So we'll see ultimately what goes on. So what about Sierra and Ty and Troyzan and Brad? What do they do? Where do they go from here?
I mean, I think the move, I think they actually have a lot of options, right? I think the move is to be like, to go back to Sarah, say, bygones be bygones. It's interesting that like Sarah didn't get any heat for that flip last week. You know, everyone thought she was on their side, and she voted out Ozzy. And like everyone was like, oh, well, still love Sarah. I'm sorry, Sarah. She's still the best. Like, how did she not? How was nobody pissed at her about it?
Yeah.
I think like it's funny. You watch Andrea and Zeke and they're both feeling so insecure with their place in the game. I guess people were just desperate for her to join them again. And the other side was like so arrogant and so apparently cohesive that, you know, they were going to take whatever strings they had and try to unravel this terrible metaphor.
Yeah. But just going back to what we touched on earlier, where she did a really great job with the damage control following that. She went to Zeke and said, hey, Zeke, I still got you. I couldn't tell you about everything that happened at that tribal council, but you and I, we're still together. And then when we got to that reward challenge, who was the person that dove in the water to, you know, help? I mean, how is Ceree going to be mad at Sarah after what she did in that challenge?
Well, and it's interesting. I think that actually sort of cuts to a lot of why people like her, which is that she just seems like a really good person, right? Like that move didn't seem like some strategic decision from Sarah. That was just, I see this person who I, who's struggling and I'm going to help them.
Yeah. Steven, at what point, it was like when you play in a, you know, returning player season like you did in Cambodia, at what point does a person's reputation officially change? Like at what point do people wake up and say, hey, this isn't the Wentworth that we saw, or we've underestimated this person and they have a lot more game than we expected?
You mean like, I think you really have to.
And I could, you know, from my own experience, I could speak to the perceptions I had about people. Sadly, I was not there long enough to realize that anybody, that the perceptions were different.
But you must have like Rob or something, right?
I underestimated Boston Rob. I said he's going to flame out. I certainly underestimated Amber and what she would be able to do in Survivor All-Stars. But what is it like when that light bulb goes off and says, oh, I was wrong about this person. There's more there than I thought.
Trying to think if that happened.
Maybe it doesn't happen. I just assumed it was. You know, it happens honestly, to us as viewers. I assume it happens to people on the show.
I honestly think like you so immediately. And obviously that, that's why I'm sort of surprised. That you didn't feel, you know, that you didn't feel like you got this experience in All Stars, because I felt like it's, you know, within 3 days you're like, eh, whatever, like this is a new person. And like, I don't know though, with Kat, it's a really interesting question and it's not one I have a pat response to. You know, the whole game we were like, oh, there's Chaos Cass again. And like Cass was like, no, I'm not Chaos Cass. And even when she like went crazy and started like creating chaos, she was like, no, it's not chaos. So I think it's two things, right? On the one hand, right out of the gate, you're saying this is a real person, not just someone I saw on TV. On the other hand, you're always sort of thinking about what are the things I thought about this person true, or are they not true? But if someone's playing well, you're like, they're playing well. They played a great game. I'm happy to award them $1 million.
Yeah. Was Andrea the right target for the Brad side going into this vote? And I shouldn't call it the Brad. I should call it the Sierra side.
No, absolutely not. Because Andrea and Zeke have all this animosity. And like, as Sierra Dawn herself said, like that's great for her. They should have gone after Ceree, and I don't understand why they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that Sierra, she seems to be very fixated. Like, where I've said that Brad seems like he wants to target the young alpha males, Sierra seems the people she wants to go for are the Haleys, like the Andreas. She seems to want to go after the other young women that are on the show.
But wasn't it Brad who said Andrea?
Well, Sierra, I believe, said it before in the episode.
Okay.
She said it. I think she said it earlier with maybe with Sarah. Don't quote me on that yet. I have to go through my notes. But
why wouldn't? What's the argument against Ceree? Like honestly, like from their perspective, why do you think they wanted Andrea out?
They feel
Ceree?
Like Andrea is going to win challenges.
And challenges. Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's what.
And Andrea has a history with immunity idols that Ceree does not.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Steven, what did you think about Michaela not getting drafted in the reward challenge? I mean, what are they
insane.
Thinking?
That was crazy to me.
I don't even know how that would go. Like, who was the next to last pick standing there with Michaela?
Maybe she's just such a toxic presence that nobody would want to actually be on Reward with her.
But Ceri, who last week in the 2-hour episode, it was that, okay, we're going to be, you and I, we're going to have each other's back. Ceri was a captain of one of the teams. Yeah. How did she not pick Michaela? Unless it was the kind of thing where it was like each person picks somebody and then the next they pick the next person where they do that. Usually not
like that. They said, oh, they said schoolyard pick though. I mean, isn't that like team captains?
Or I
they
don't said understand team how Ceri as captain does not pick Michaela.
Yeah, it's crazy to me too. It's really crazy to me.
Do we have any evidence Michaela can't swim? I remember her in the water in different challenges doing well, but I don't remember anything about her not being able to swim. I'm trying to think of if that's a thing where Ceri knew that swimming is a weakness of hers. I don't know. But I don't recall that ever being a thing. I remember
honestly, the balance beam seemed like it was much more time consuming than the swim for this challenge.
Yeah. And what happened to Debbie as balance is her main thing? She's a former ballerina. She had to crawl across the balance beam, Debbie?
She was wet. She was wet.
Yeah. Okay.
That balance beam actually seems really freaking hard. I mean, I still don't think it's anyone's like life journey to be able to conquer the balance beam, but that did look really, really challenging.
Okay. We'll see ultimately if Ceri is able to
The real game. MKC on Twitter is saying that Ceri is trying to hide her relationship with Michaela. So that may be.
But if she picks her with the final pick in her draft.
Right, in the draft, right.
Then people
right.
say, are they working together? Yeah, why did she pick Michaela? Why did she pick
incredible challenge competitor instead of Debbie. Be in her team?
She must be working together. So yeah. I don't know. It'd be good to get that order. I'm sure the secret scene that's going to be if we when we get those tomorrow, that since like 80% of the secret scenes have to do with what happened in the reward challenge, then I'm sure we will get an account of that. Now, for Michaela, Stephen, do you think that it is an indictment of her as a player that she was so mad that she didn't get picked that she.
No, who looks under the I mean, I actually think that it's less surprising that one of the players saw. First of all, I think it's a great idea for a twist that the person who sits out actually has access to an advantage that nobody else has. But like, who looks under the bench? I mean, I think that the people playing the challenge who can
every
see
future
under the
survivor
bench,
player.
Yeah, exactly. Every future survivor player. I have sat out at challenges. I have never thought to like look under the bench. Now, it's possible that when someone is getting up on the platform, they're going to be at eye level for a moment with the bench or whatever. But and she was pissed too. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Steven, you want to get into some of these questions from tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start to pick things up here as we head to the final 10. Landry wants to know, what is the occupation count up to now for Debbie? Did she add a new occupation tonight?
I'll defer to you on this one, Rob.
I don't know. We'll have to go back through it. I'll look for additional occupations. She did talk about how the airplane was like no big deal for her. She's seen so many airplanes. For everybody else, it was something. But for her, it's like, old hat.
Yeah.
So, Steven.
Right, today has been rough, wants to know. Do we know why everyone hates Michaela so much?
Steven, I don't know. It does seem like there are a lot of people who played in this season who say they do not love Michaela. For going back from JT, Malcolm, I believe in his exit press, said that he didn't love Michaela. It seemed like Sandra and Varner, they were high on her. But nobody else says, and we haven't talked to Ceri, but nobody else in the season is coming away saying like, oh, you know who's the best? Michaela.
Honestly, I think it's like one of these things with, Sierra Reid on my first season or Abby on my second season, where people who just are like bad attitudes and nasty around camp and like it wears on you so much because you're all suffering so much out there and you're all so miserable that most people try to put forth a good effort and be friendly and be nice and be positive and be supportive of each other. And someone who's got a bad attitude, like day in and day out, it just like kills you. I just remember Abby sitting by the fire and just like glaring at us. It was like, just like her, she wasn't saying it, just even just her constant like nasty glares just like sap the life out of us. You really have to try to be like a good, to be nice out there, and the people who don't are just awful to be around. And I think that's something that doesn't ever really translate to television, because you're well fed watching at 8 p.m from a comfortable place. You're never going to get that sense of like you're every and you know, all your energy. You know, Malcolm called Abby a dementor in Philippines, and I feel like that's what it is. Like these people just like suck your face off.
Yeah. Whoa. I do agree. I think that there is a lot there. The people that it's just like that sap your energy. And I think that people could probably relate to somebody in their office that's like this, somebody that's always negative, somebody that's complaining about everything. Everything sucks. It really is. You know, it takes like willpower and takes energy away from you as you interact with that person, as opposed to somebody who's just like a joy to be around, like Stephen Fishback.
Yeah, or like Sarah Lacina, apparently.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the kind of thing that just like it doesn't really translate that well to TV, because like you're never going to get a confessional over like someone complaining about how unhappy they
but
are.
But I think it does translate to TV, Stephen. I really think it does. Maybe not so much in the negative ways, but certainly like when you see a Suri or somebody that has like a smile or a giggle.
Oh,
that,
the
like,
positive
lights up
ways
the screen.
For sure. But like those little negative things that accrue over time, I think they don't. I absolutely think that someone's good humor can translate.
Yeah. Stephen, going back to Debbie's job, is it possible that Debbie's one of her occupations might be political scientist? She seems very fixated on what's a dictatorship, what's a democracy, who's controlling, what's an oligarchy.
Yeah.
she voted for Andreas, so this was a democracy.
Yeah. That's right.
Did you feel like that? Was there too much outing of the six from the six at Tribal Council?
Kind of unbelievable that the way they talked about themselves was such arrogance. You know, yeah. At least pretend. At least be like,
I mean, Sarah,
you know, we all
was
have
the
relationships
one person.
Here.
She was very strong about how, like, hey, I don't think the deck gets reshuffled. I think that the six is the six, and then she's going to be voting the other way. But which six was she talking about? Interesting, right? But that in terms of everybody else, you're just setting yourself up for a fall here.
Yeah. Really, it's terrible. And if nothing else, your arrogance is going to read badly to the other players who are not in your group, and your arrogance is going to read badly to the people on the jury. Like, don't
and
be
the
arrogant.
People at home.
It's that easy, unless you're marinating and eliminating someone.
That's right. That's right. And again, that's in a voting confessional. That's different than
right.
You know what, Jeff?
Don't well.
This alliance is indestructible. No cracks here. None whatsoever. Impossible. Right. Can't just put up a test pattern in the next 3 weeks. We got this.
Yeah.
Edmo wants to say, was Ty the one most likely to spell immunity wrong? Stephen, I actually did this challenge back in the LA Pop Fest. And
season.
Yes. And I said, I'm not going to lose by letting the thing go. I'm going to just go as slow as possible, because that's what I saw win this challenge back in Survivor Co. Wrong. It's amazing to me that Ty struggled so much with this, considering that he himself had already played this challenge.
You know, the poor guy doesn't speak English, you mm-hmm. know, like it's gotta be hard. Like, I'm sorry. He obviously speaks English. It's not his native language. And like, I think when your brain starts to shut down from malnutrition and just fatigue, I can't imagine doing one of these challenges in French. Like, what? Immunité? Like, where's the accent? You know, like who the hell knows? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be so easy to get scrambled in something like this if you weren't a native speaker.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen, let's go to John Densford.
John Densford, he wants to know, yes. This was the correct move for Sarah, right? The Andrea Zeke thing is way too fractured for that six to stick together.
Well, my question is the timing, Stephen. Is Sarah better off sticking with the six for a while? And I mean, not even Tony made a big swing at 11. 11 is really far back to do this. My Achilles heel in analysis on these things, I tend to say it's too soon to make these kinds of moves, but I've been proved wrong on this too many times to say that it is wrong. So I think I need to see what the next move is after it. Do you think it was too early?
I think it's so hard. I mean, you know, again, like I think maybe an old school Survivor where, and that was not a crack at you, that, you know, when it was like Alliance A and Alliance B, then it probably would be like way too soon to make this move. But with all the intermingling of relationships, you know, you're really, you know, I think at this point, as soon as you're at the jury phase in the game, what you want to do is you want to eliminate people you can't trust, keep people you can work with, and you can't think of like who's in which alliance, you know? And I think she's doing that. I mean, you know, if it's just, again, like, yeah, sure. If it's like group A versus group B, it's way too soon. But I don't think that's not what it looks like.
One of the interesting things to watch here is going to be Brad and how he reacts to this. There was a secret scene that I talked about with Tyson on the podcast last week where Debbie confronts Brad Culpepper. She's mad because Brad has a final three deal with Sarah or some sort of like that he's made some sort of like secret alliance with Sarah, but somehow Debbie knows about it. And Debbie had some sort of similar alliance with Brad. And so she's confronting Brad, and Brad sort of frames it as that, like, Debbie is like the jilted lover who is upset about finding about the other woman. So I wonder if Brad might be okay with Debbie going home at this spot.
Well, that's the other thing about Debbie is, like, she's such a big personality. She's such an erratic personality. I think, like, you know, probably everyone's like, you know, she's kind of a little, I mean, you know,
the sheriff is not going to be happy, Stephen. The sheriff wanted Andrea gone, and that was a tight ally of Sierra. Yeah. Go back to last week. It was Sierra and Debbie all the time. Sierra is going to be the most mad about this.
I agree with that. But I think the others, the rest of them, like, they don't like, you know, maybe Ty will be mad, but
he'll get over it.
Yeah, exactly. I think Brad will be like, I totally get it. You know, I think that they're smart enough players, you know, and disciplined enough players. And that's the one thing we're seeing a lot from that big group, you know, is just a lot of discipline and cohesion and playing good survivor. You know, I mean, a lot less waffling and flipping all over the place. Yeah. And kudos to them.
Okay.
We're talking a lot about the smaller group, you know, the Cerise and the Aubreys and the Sarahs of the world.
That's the bigger group.
The bigger group is doing good. I mean, yeah, they're like talking too much at tribal council. And
no, the bigger group is now the smaller group.
Well, now they're the smaller group. Right, right.
Yeah. So that's what happens. You get to get too big. Now you're the small group.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Now it's their turn. Now they got to go to work.
I just don't count on. I think maybe Dom or someone, Colin, was saying, like, you know, alliance of sixes. What?
Those hacks.
Those hacks. You know, if you're in an alliance of six in you know, contemporary Survivor, like, don't count on that. You know, don't count on that hanging around for more than a vote or two.
Six is hard. Six is a tough alliance because then you know, it's broken up into voting blocks, Stephen. Who are the voting blocks in the six? Who are the trust clusters in the six?
Well, it does. Six, it did seem outdated, though, like Sierra Dawn was playing it right. And if Debbie just hadn't kind of gone off on her own misinformation campaign, that, you know, things would have sort of hung tight.
That's the problem with Debbie, is such a wild card.
Yeah.
Do you think if Sierra got to that final three with Debbie and Sarah, do you think that would have been, is she looking at that as, okay, here's Sarah, who is somebody who is similarly underestimated coming into the season. Here's Debbie, that she's like the fill-up. Nobody's going to vote for her in the end, except for a Ralph. So that, is she looking at that as her dream final three? Is that what she was doing?
I think so. I think that's like me against two people. Like, you know, I think absolutely from Sierra's perspective, right? Brad has a claim to being a competing leader, right? Mm-hmm. Troy, you know, won immunities, you know, big personality.
So she's probably looking at it like, okay, let's get down here with the six. Ty goes out at six. We go girl power at the final five, vote out Brad, vote out Troy, and then that's the final three.
Yeah, that's how I would imagine.
It's
that's
not a
great
bad plan
for her. It's a good plan.
Not a bad plan. Okay. Let's do a couple more questions. Amanda Fallon wants to say, Aubrey was so good tonight on camera, rolling her eyes and giving the majority alliance the double middle finger. What
Aubrey's
gives?
Great TV. Aubrey's most gifable contestant.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. And good on Aubrey for sniffing out, okay, I know Debbie's tell. I know Debbie is a big liar. I know she's feeding me misinformation. So we should know that what she's telling me is not true, or what I'm hearing about Debbie is not true.
Wait, say that again?
That Aubrey knows Debbie's tells. I mean, it's one of those things about playing together. Yes. She says it's the same exact thing like when we had to vote her out back in Survivor Co. Wrong. And I think that she was probably instrumental in that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she was, right? Can you believe we're voting out Debbie? You just can't believe it.
Yeah. Do you think that Aubrey was marinating in that? Perhaps.
All right. Laura Survivor says, Sarah's preaching that she's playing a different game. Isn't being the undecided swing vote between two groups the exact same as Cagayan? Well, that was what I was saying a little earlier, Rob. What do you think?
No, I think that she was more graceful about it. I think that she dug her heels in so basically she overplayed her hand in Survivor Kageyan. She said, all right, who's going to give me the best deal? I'm the swing vote. I'm the president right now. So I'm demanding this from this group, and I'm demanding this from Tony's group. And okay, you're not giving me what you're not telling me what I want to hear. Hey, I'll go to that side if you don't give me what I want. So she was sort of being super bossy back in that spot, as opposed to here, she was really feeling out both sides and sort of like contemplative and internally what's best for me, not externally like, hey, tell me what's best for me, because if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go back to those people. So you better play your cards right.
Although that could really be, I agree with you. Although the person who ended up going home is the person that Sarah most wanted to go home. Right. And I think honestly, I mean, you know, I think we're giving a lot of credit to Sarah, which she deserves. She obviously, everybody loves Sarah. But it's also a testament to the way the game is being played differently, right? And I'm not saying better or worse, but just differently, where in Kagayan, you had a lot of super aggressive players who were like, she wants her way? Hell no, I'm getting my way. And here you've got a lot more people who are saying, I need her, you know, like whatever your way is, I'm in that way, you know? So yeah. I think it's as much the people around her as it is her.
If I have not given enough praise to that side, I will reset again that I was really impressed with how everybody handled that vote on that side, from coming into this round of play in the minority to being able to convince Sarah to stay. To, you know, Sarah was looking to make her move. They sold a move to Sarah that she felt like was in her best interest. I feel like that everybody did a great job over there.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, yes, she's playing differently, but also like the situation is so different. You know, it's so easy to say, you know, she's in between the two players. Last time she did it this way, this time she's doing it this way. Look at that change. But actually everything is so different, and context is so instrumental in Survivor that there's so many other variables that are different as well.
Yeah, there were two more clearly defined sides in Kageyan, where there was the people that were with Tony's group and the people that were with the Spencer and Tasha and Cass group, where here you have Zeke was sort of like riding the fence between the two groups. I was really surprised with Zeke's reaction after that tribal council, where I thought that he was going to be blindsided too about what happened. Like, oh my God, my plan. I thought we were going to be, voting out Aubrey tonight. That didn't work. He was really sort of like, okay, well, I'm with them now. You know, I was surprised at how he reacted after that tribal council.
I thought he did the thing he needed to do, which, right? I mean, kudos to Zeke for just like being like, I'm
not saying it was
bad.
I was surprised to see how he was reacting to that.
Which was like perfectly, right? Like, A, like not going to make a scene. B, you know, you want to yell at me, Andrea? Like, I'm going to step away. And, C, like totally plays dead until he's given an opportunity. As soon as he's given an opportunity, he's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, he needs everybody to forget about him. That's the best
thing. The
thing
is, like, last week, I feel like a lot of people were saying, oh, man, how dumb of Zeke to flip. And now this week, it's like, oh, Sarah, how aggressive and great of her to flip. Like, granted, Sarah's plan happened and Zeke's didn't. But, not totally dissimilar.
I mean, I think it's a little bit apples and oranges, no?
Yeah. Two fruits that are, like, very similar to each other. Apples and oranges. Both circular fruits.
Similar. What happened was that Zeke's side had a, you know, pretty solid plan to take out a, you know, key member of the opposite alliance, and he sort of sabotaged that to try to come up with a different plan that he wanted to do, which didn't work, and then also could have gotten his whole side having their games end because of the move that he made. So I don't really look at it as like two very similar things.
Okay. I'm just saying that apples and oranges, though, are very similar.
Whatever. See, I don't want to debate apples and oranges. Okay.
I didn't bring up the apples and the oranges, Rob. That was you.
All right. Don't be difficult tonight. Okay.
Andrew Rollins. Sorry. I had a lot of coffee here. Andrew Rollins wants to know, did Andrea's side pull a Malcolm and Caramoan and vote out the Philip and Debbie? Why not Brad or Sierra? Well, we sort of talked about that a little bit. Jorge Alvarado wants to know, is the better move to take out Sierra instead of Debbie. So you know what, you asked the question. I gave my answer. Do you think that if you were Sarah, you would go for Sierra?
Yeah, that's a really good point in terms of they took the most unstable element of that alliance and removed it, where you still have a lot of reasonable, rational, intelligent players on that side that could somehow formulate another plan. Now, we did see Debbie be very instrumental in the vote out of Ozzy, but Debbie could go off at any moment. And if she's already not on your side, don't you want that sort of like she might blow up at Brad, she might blow up at whoever's on that side, she might blow up at Ty. Do you want to keep that dysfunction with the group?
I think
it's not your group.
Yeah, maybe abstractly, you know, in a vacuum, that's true. I just think Sarah's making the right move for Sarah here, right? Where, you know, Debbie's the one who's targeting her. Debbie's, you know, not necessarily her best alliance. Sarah has the better relationships with Sierra and with Brad. I don't think you can say, like, abstractly, she's the wacky one, therefore keep her around.
Yeah, all right, I'll come down. I won't sit on the fence on this. I think that Debbie was the wrong person to vote out.
You think Sarah should have gone for Sierra?
Yes, I do.
But Sierra wants to take Sarah to the final three.
Okay, then go after, so maybe for Sarah, it wasn't the right move, and maybe that move only gets sold because it was the right person. But you think that Sierra's going to want to take Sarah to the final three now?
Maybe. Like now, you know, it depends. I mean, the point is, I guess, like Sarah and Sierra have a good relationship. And I think, you know, coming off
a
blind side, you got
now.
Well, we'll see. I think, you know, you keep around the people who you have a good relationship with. Like, I don't know, like if you, you know, in any given season, like if you're going to vote off someone in your alliance, like keep the people who like you and then you can sell to them like, hey, Jeremy, I'm so sorry I voted against whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a great parallel. But like, yeah, like if I were going to turn on my alliance in Cambodia, I would not have voted off Jeremy or Kimmy because I knew that I could bring them back in with me.
But
you vote
you
off
beat
the person
Jeremy?
You're least likely.
I mean, why get rid of somebody who has zero chance to win the game?
It's 11. I think that's too soon. You know, I don't think you can be saying that at the final 11. Like, you know,
it's an interesting debate. We have to see how the rest of the season plays out. But I mean, armed with the information that I have right now, I think it would have been, you take this. This is, you know, you don't look this, gift horse in the mouth if you could get one of their numbers out. But I feel like that of the people you could have gotten out on that side, I think that is 6 out of 6 in terms of importance.
I really, you know, I think it's, that's like, you know, in a vacuum, like if we're looking at the ranking, I think it comes down to the relationships. You know, she's making this big move. She's got to be able to that night and the next day do the damage control. And when you think about who you're voting out, you think, who can I best do damage control with?
Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out and how Sierra reacts to what Sarah does. I think she's going to be really pissed.
Yeah, how pissed would Debbie be? Debbie's like Miss Loyalty, Miss like.
You don't know how Debbie is
going to
be. Debbie could react any number of ways. Nobody knows. And if she goes nuts, she'll be more likely to get voted off.
I think it was the right call by Sarah. Okay. You think it was the wrong call?
There's a lot of things that we don't know. We are operating with limited information. We don't know if Sarah told that side, hey, if it's Debbie tonight, I'll vote with you. And they said, okay, we're good with that. Or if there was discussion of who should we go for on that side, I'm open to voting off anybody from that side. Do you think it should be Debbie? So it really depends on which of those things was the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one or two more questions.
Okay.
Tyler wants to know, would it be better for Survivor to include the schoolyard pick for reward challenges? Seems like we're missing out on a lot of great drama. Steven, did you participate in any of those schoolyard picks in
Cambodia?
Yeah, basically
every reward challenge is a schoolyard pick. It's just like, who cares? You know, like, okay.
How do they do it? Is it sort of like, do they film it and it's like or is it like, but you know, sort of just like going through the motions of like sort of like explaining the challenges and it's sort of just like done?
I'm sure they film it. I'm pretty sure they film it. I mean, you know, like everyone draws a rock. Typically, you know, the two colored rocks are the ones that are the captains. and then they just pick, and it's the same order every single time. Like, you don't need to see it, you know. It's Joe first, then Jeremy, then the blank, then blank, then blank, then blank, you know. And I'm sure it's the same way here. Same people every time, unless it really drives story. Like, you really don't need to waste air time with that.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more question. What about from Dave, Stephen?
Dave Chapman wants to know, Debbie was a bitter juror against Aubrey and Co-Wrong. Who do you think she will rally against? It's a good question. Is Debbie going to be an angry, bitter juror against Sarah here?
It's possible that she broke up the six. I think it really, we'll see how it goes. I'm sure Ozzy was thrilled to see Debbie go out and then join him, or you know, Debbie knock him out and then join him at the Ponderosa. So it's a long ways to go until we get to the final tribal council. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
And Debbie is the most unpredictable of people to be able to determine how she's going to view things.
Well, but you know that she needs a lot of, you know, she really needs to feel, right? She needs to feel important. She needs to feel powerful. And maybe it's a final tribal thing. You know, maybe Sarah can make her feel that way.
Yeah. Who knows, Stephen? All right. So you gave the fishy to the whole other alliance?
No, just to Serena Aubrey. I mean, I'm sure there was more going on.
No, but Andrea.
We didn't really see Andrea selling Sarah. We saw Sarah selling Andrea. You know, I think if anyone... you know, Sarah was the one who kind of like brought Andrea and Zeke back together.
Okay.
And maybe I should give a fishy to her too. But I felt like, you know, this was really Aubrey and Ceri doing an amazing job of getting one last number that they really needed to vote their way.
Okay. I will have to go back.
Maybe it should be Sarah. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I got to do a rewatch and see. I mean, it was such a big night for Sarah, though. I think it's kind of a snub to Sarah that the whole hour was
snub.
Basically...
It's snub. It's not like, you know, it's not an award for like most edited contestant. It's an award for like who I think played the best strategic game, not who got like the most orchestrations when they did their, like, you know, when they were on screen.
Okay. All right. So I would give it to Sarah, but
why? What was, so you didn't even like her move. You give it to Sarah. You didn't even like who she voted for.
Well, that you're giving it to two people that you arbitrarily picked out of a group of five.
No, we saw a scene of Ceri putting the bug into Sarah's ear about how she's in trouble in that alliance and how she needs to flip. And we saw a scene of Aubrey being like, yeah, you know, Debbie, she's out to get you, but we're not. We're on your side. Those are two scenes of people trying and then successfully flipping a swing vote to their side. To me, that's good survivor strategy. You know, whether or not Sarah's flip was a good move, like, we're still debating that. You don't think it is. I think it's a better move than you do.
Okay, but we'll see. I add in
you don't respect the fishy, Rob. If you don't think I should, you know, you don't respect the fishy if you think I should give it away for a bad flip.
I would give it to Sarah just because over the course of the hour that she found the idol, she found the secret advantage, she was the one who was pulling the strings with most of the people, and she's ultimately the person that dictated the course of action for how this episode went. So I would give it to her. It's your article. It's your blog. So you can do what you want.
I don't know. You think she made a mistake and you're like, give it to her.
Stephen, that I have said a number of times that I don't know whether her decision was, I will only vote with you guys if it's Debbie, or I'm open to whoever goes home. So we have to see. We need to know these answers.
Well, we do know, though, right, objectively, that that Aubrey and Ceri did a great move, right? Because, like, their alliance was on the line, and, like, they, through, you know, their incredibly skilled salesmanship, pulled over a key swing vote.
Yeah, but we have to see what happens ultimately next. I mean, this could be the kind of thing where Sarah goes back to Brad and is like, hey, I took care of the Debbie problem. And he's like, okay, great. And then she's back with Brad next week. So we just need to see how things play out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Stephen, do we have a hashtag?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll look for one in the chat room. You could read Steven's blog and follow everything at Stephen Fishback. Stephen, 2 weeks till Toronto. Toronto.
Oh, I can't. I can't.
You can't what? Wait.
Wait. Yeah. I can't wait. Right. I can't wait.
One other thing, and this is a little bit of a serious thing, Stephen. So it has come to my attention that someone has created a a impersonation. Rob has a podcast Patreon account. So
that's actually kind of crazy.
No, it's really messed up.
It's really screwed up. Does Patreon allow that?
Well, no. We're working on it. But if you've become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast in the last week or so, just double check and make sure that you are a patron of the right Rob Has a Podcast, because somebody is out there trying to skim and trying to pilfer from Rob Has a Podcast. So make sure you went to the Patreon account at robhasawebsite.com/patron, and you do not have an imposter. Make sure it's the current picture of me in this studio on that, and not like an old picture of me on the Patreon account, Steven. I'm not joking about this.
That's really screwed up. And also, I mean, it's kind of deviously brilliant, but it's really screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's out there impersonating me and taking Patreon donations.
Yeah.
And I bet their Patreon shows are much worse than mine. I do a good job on those patron shows. They're doing like something.
Are they impersonating you for the show?
Yeah,
too?
They're like, hey, this sucks.
Yeah. What are their? Are they impersonating you? Impersonating Boston Rob?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they have like some sort of vocal canal.
I would pay for that Patreon.
Yeah, so just do that. If you've come on recently, just double check and make sure that that's the case. Okay. All right. Sorry, I had to talk about some serious stuff there, Steven. All right. So I'm very excited to talk to Debbie, talk to Aris, and then get your voicemails for Bryce. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. That should be a very fun show.
This is good.
Yeah. Okay. We got into some stuff.
Whenever we debate, I feel like it's good stuff.
Yes. Okay. You're a fantastic verbal pugilist.
And look, there's the two of us pugilisting.
Yeah, back there you on go. The wall. All right. So looking forward to getting back into it next week on the Know-It-Alls. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survive the know-it-all.